Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you, talking some Titans. And to help us do that, we head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend John Glennon from the Nashville Post. Johnny, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Doing great, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So, John, I'm looking at the Titans roster right now with what they've done to this point in free agency. We know quarterback's a massive need. I think they're going to take care of that at number one overall. I'm looking at wide receiver and I'm looking at edge rusher, and I think there's still a lot of work to be done at both of those spots. So, John, as you look at the roster right now, as you look at what they've got, which one of those is a more pressing need to you at the moment? Wide receiver, edge rusher, and how do you think the Titans attack that at this point in the offseason?
Yeah, I think certainly both very needy at this point. If I had to lean one way or another, I would say wide receiver is top priority, and that is probably assuming you're going to take Cam Ward at number one, which certainly seems to be the case right now. Why not, if you're going to take a quarterback number one, why not make first priority giving him an added weapon, some extra weapons? And really, I mean, the cupboard is so bare right now outside of Calvin Ridley. You know, I don't think you can rely much on Treylon Burks. So obviously, NWI is gone. Tyler Boyd is not coming back. And you've got several other guys that, you know, maybe are young, maybe have some potential, but, you know, nothing that's really been realized yet. So I think that has to be top priority. And I think, you know, edge rusher is not far behind. I think they've addressed that a little bit, certainly with, you know, add a guy like Draymond Jones, you know, add some depth in Lorenzo Carter there as well. But, you know, let's face it, you know, Harold Landry, I mean, that's a significant void. That's, you did well in terms of, you know, creating a lot of salary cap room, but, you know, you got to fill a lot of numbers there too. Harold Landry was, you know, responsible for 9 of those 32 sacks the Titans had last year. You know, a fair amount of pressures as well. So, I don't think Draymond Jones has enough of a proven track record as a sack guy, as a pass rusher, to really be the, you know, the sole replacement there. So I think there's work certainly to be done there too. But if you say one of the two priorities, I'll go with wide receiver.
You just have to mention NWI, huh? Just like, just drive the knife, plunge the knife.
He's still in mourning.
My goodness.
Moving on to be number two Dolphins man.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Hey, so what do you think about Cam Ward? Is this a good or a bad decision by the Tennessee Titans that we all are assuming is happening?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I lean toward it being a good decision, and obviously I am no NFL scout, and neither are any of us in the media, so – you know, those guys get paid to tell us how good these guys are and if they're worthy of a number one pick. I mean, certainly from the clips that I have seen and that we've all seen, you know, when I look back at what Mike Borgonzi and what Brian Callahan said they're really looking for in a number one quarterback or in a very good quarterback, I should say. You know, Mike Borgonzi talked about processing, quick processing. Brian Callahan talked about the ability to play well under pressure, and I've, you know, we've seen a lot of evidence in regards to Cam Ward on both of those fronts. And then, you know, you look at just kind of logic too. I mean, one of the primary reasons I think that Brian Callahan was hired as a head coach is because of his offensive minded background, of his ability to deal with quarterbacks, and he has talked himself about the fact that he's very confident about his ability to teach quarterbacks. So to me, you know, this is his wheelhouse, right? I mean, if you're going to hire Brian Callahan with that in mind, and you've got the number one pick and the number one, and Cam Ward is a guy that you think you can at least win consistently with and who has a pretty high ceiling, you know, I think there's a lot of reasons to jump in there and take Cam Ward number one. How many times are you going to end up with the number one pick? Maybe we shouldn't answer that. But, you know, it's a situation, obviously, where you don't have to worry about anybody else in front of you. You don't have to worry about surrendering draft capital to make that pick. So I think there's an awful lot of reasons to find Cam Ward very appealing as the number one pick. And I will, you know, sort of pass the buck to the Titans personnel and executives and scouts and say it's up to them to tell us whether he's the franchise guy or not. But if they think he's a very good quarterback and they've got a chance to give Brian Callahan, you know, years potentially with a very good quarterback, hey, dive in.
So I'm totally with you, John, on receiver. Like, they've got a ton of work to do there, particularly if you're drafting Cam Ward at number one. You know, finding some guys to catch the football and make plays has to be top of mind. They clearly have addressed the offensive line, and with a situation that they're hoping is a lot better for Cam Ward to step into on the offensive line. With Latham moving to the right, you got Dan Moore coming in. They brought in Zeitler. So what do you make of the new-look offensive line for the Titans and how much better of a setup it could be for Cam Ward if that's the way they go at number one?
I don't think there's any doubt that the right side of the line is worlds better right now. You're moving J.C. Latham over to the right tackle where he played pretty much exclusively at Alabama, and he was outstanding. I really like the addition of Kevin Zeitler at right guard. You know, I think that was a move that's going to bring in some leadership. You know, he's an older guy, but you didn't sign him to a 3 or 4 year deal. You signed him to a 1 year contract. He can bring leadership also to a younger room there. So I think the right side is clearly better, you know, from the struggling participants that we saw there last year. I still have questions on the left side. You know, they signed Dan Moore to this massive contract, but, you know, Dan Moore has been pretty much very average to below average in terms of some of the numbers anyway that he's produced in 4 years at Pittsburgh. I mean, to the extent that, you know, his third year there, they picked a left tackle in the first round of the draft to kind of replace him. Now, to Dan Moore's credit, he won that battle, remained left tackle for the Steelers, but the numbers aren't pretty, you know, in terms of the sacks and the pressures he surrendered. So, you know, I think for the Titans, you've certainly made the right side better, but is the left side necessarily better with Dan Moore than it would have been with J.C. Latham in year two, and then maybe using it, you know, a free agent or a draft right tackle? You know, that seems like that could have been a viable option too if you were kind of left with only Dan Moore to grab in free agency. So we'll have to see. That to me is a huge question mark.
Well, I'm with you. You know, I agree. You know, the right side, you strengthen it, but if you continue to not be good at left tackle, that's not the ideal way. Well, it's not the ideal way to help any quarterback, but certainly, especially not, you know, the number one overall pick rookie quarterback who I would assume is going to be starting on day one. Which, by the way, are you thinking, John, that Levis gets moved, is somewhere else next year?
I, you know, assuming as it seems like we all know are now that Ward is the number one pick, I would lean in that direction, you know, for a couple of reasons. You know, B, he's probably not, well, first, for, you know, the obvious reason, very few teams carry three quarterbacks, and you obviously have Brandon Allen there sort of to be a mentor, you know, a teacher kind of role. I'm not sure Will Levis is the ideal person to be a backup right now. Will Levis, you know, going into his third year, still very much thinks and feels that he can be a starter, whether it's here or somewhere else. And you know, I'm not sure whether they want that situation in the quarterback room or not. And two, you have to look at, you know, we know how much of a priority that this the hierarchy now for the Titans has set on compiling draft capital and draft picks down the line. And there, you know, there's only limited ways you can do that, and certainly one of them would be to move Levis, and you know, you're not going to get an early round pick for him. You're going to get a middle to a later round pick for a guy like Will Levis if you draft him. But it does make sense to me. I think you still have your journeyman mentor teacher in there with Cam Ward and. You know, I think you maybe remove what might be a potentially disruptive situation there.
John, I want to get your thoughts on the Preds. There's 12 games left in the season, in a season that has largely, for all intents and purposes, been over for a long time. So as you kind of sift through this and you're Barry Trotz and you're the Preds trying to figure out how to move forward here, how do you view it? Like, how do you view, obviously, putting into scope the disaster that this year has been, and what that could now mean moving forward. How do you find your way out of this and get back to being competitive next year if you're the Predators and Barry Trotz?
Yeah, it's not going to be an easy path, you know, and you know, they're certainly tied into a number of veteran contracts, and I think that was one of their downfalls this year, is that they maybe had too many of those veteran contracts. You know, not enough young talent, not enough speed at that position. I think priority number one probably for the Predators, as it was maybe even going into this year, is trying to find a top line center. You know, I think once you find a top line center, or even, you know, a number two center, you know, I think you're going to make Stamkos and Marchessault that much better, you know, around this center. So I think that's a key. But they're in it, you know, a bit of a challenging position in that there are a number of these veterans, you know, in early to mid 30s. That are good, but need some quality youth around them. And I think there are some young prospects on the way, but, you know, not quite ready to star in the game yet. So it's going to be a little bit of a challenge. Barry Trotz, I think, has to make some, you know, careful additions for next year. And I'm really intrigued also, you know, this to me is a bit of a scary situation with Roman Josi. Of course, they're, you know, the great defenseman and Predators captain, who is apparently, you know, out for the rest of the year. And the belief is that it's a concussion situation as well. And this will be the second time in 3 years that he's finished the year by missing, you know, 15 to 25 games. And Roman Josi's got a concussion history now too, you know, multiple concussions. So I think that's worth keeping, you know, an eye on as well, how that, you know, maybe it's just to sit him down and he'll be fine for next season. That's great. But, you know, we'll have to wait and see. But it's not going to be an easy fix for the Predators. You know, there's talent there. And maybe, you know, and I know Barry Trotz addressed this, I think, in the Athletic article this morning, Joe, but he talked about how maybe Stamkos and Marchessault maybe feel like a better fit next year, like you know, another year under their belt, more natural with the team and in chemistry and so forth. They better hope so, because certainly that did not work this year.
Yeah, it sounds good. Since we're talking about crappy sports teams, would you like to get into Virginia basketball at all?
Wow.
Well, let me tell you this, Joe. Let me tell you this. One of the first sentences uttered by the new coach, Ryan Odom, was, "I love offense." How about that?
God.
How about that?
Hey, all right. Let me tell you, man.
Yeah.
I don't know how you feel. Like, Tony Bennett and Dick Bennett are two of the nicest people on the planet. They're wonderful people. I never want to watch their freaking basketball ever, ever again. I hope you're with me.
Well, I think it was like this for the fan base, in the fact that like, as long as they were winning 25, 30 games a year, hell, they could score 40 points. But, you know, when you start going 20 and 12, you know, each season and losing in the first round of the NCAA, well, like, we hate that style all of a sudden, and it's time to boost things. So,
I mean, sports is allowed to entertain you, right? Like, it's okay. Like,
it is.
Yeah.
Winning is very entertaining.
That is
winning.
True.
Winning is highly entertaining. I think we're back on the right track now.
Got to be some high octane offense in Virginia. You better watch out, baby. Better watch out.
I do like the higher.
Johnny, great stuff, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thanks, guys. Enjoyed it.
John Glennon from the Nashville Post, our guest on Robbie and Rex. We'll get back into Cam Ward, his pro day, react to what Glennon had to say there as well. On the Titans front, Robbie and Rex, 102.5, 106.3, the game.